Prabhupada Ki Jai. Prem Siko Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaura Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gogopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Sri Navadvipa Dham Ki Jai. Gangamayi Ki Jai. Jamunamayi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga Nitai Gaur Bhimanande Hari Hari Bhava. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pistaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tanamane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nivisesha Sanyavadi Tskatidhistha. Om Aginatum Inandasya Jana Jana Sulakaya Chaksu Sumila Chanjena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapandantikam Vansa Kaputu Vyastha Kripa Sindhu Vaye Vyastha Pratitaram Pramenebhyo Vaishnavesho Namo Namaha.
The nature of the mind,
as we were mentioning yesterday, the nature of the soul, rather, is to require shelter. Why do we require shelter? It's because we are tiny and insignificant. Now, it is very hard for a soul, a person, covered by false ego, to actually accept this very simple and obvious point. We are tiny, and not only are we tiny, we're insignificant. What's the difference between being tiny and insignificant? What's the difference? Yes. For example? Yeah, yes. Good. Tiny and insignificant. The example that comes to my mind. Oh, mobile phones off, please. The same one always comes to my mind is that there is in 50 years from now, or 100 years from now, or 150 years from now, probably speaking, practically speaking, no one will even know that I ever existed in this form, this name, this form. It's gone. And no one will even remember that I ever existed. That is insignificant. And here I am, thinking myself occasionally tiny, but never insignificant. Rather, thinking myself the center of existence. But this is illusion. This is specifically one of the major effects of Maya, to award us a demoniac mentality. Ishwaraham Mahambhogi. I am the Ishwara. I am the Ishwara means controller. And what is the great benefit of being able to control? Aham bogi, I can enjoy, because it's so hard to control, to enjoy without being able to control things. And this is the great pushing of humanity, contemporary humanity, or Prabhupada might say so-called humanity, for finances, because finances means power, Ishwara. I can be an Ishwara if I have money, and a lot of money. Money means power. Power to enjoy, but power to control. At least to control my environment, so I can enjoy on a particular level. But we are not Ishwaras, we are tiny and insignificant, and therefore, ultimately, we need shelter. We need shelter. And the mind is always seeking shelter. When we start to chant our japa or Gayatri mantra, or to listen to some Bhagavad Katha, the mind starts moving different places, thinking about different things, trying to find a shelter. I shouldn't actually recommend we watch our minds too much. Sometimes it's better to just neglect the mind. But we have to become conscious of what is going on. The mind is looking for something always to hold on to that's going to give it the satisfaction that it so deeply requires, the shelter, again, the shelter that it so deeply requires. I criticize this one. I long for this. I don't want that. This, I say something terrible all day long, moment to moment. This is what my mind's doing. Icha dvesha samutena dvanva mohena bharata. What does that verse mean? What chapter of the Bhagavad Gita? Seventh chapter. Who said that? Thank you. So happy to see you. Seventh chapter. Icha dvesha. The mind is continually enwrapped, captivated by thoughts of I want this, I want this, I don't want that, I hate that, dvesha. And in this way, it's trying to establish the false sense of self as central, as important, and an illusion as very secure and able to give itself shelter. Again, this is illusion. We are tiny. Tatastha Shakti, we need a substantial shelter. A shelter that won't let us down at when we really need it. When we really need the support and help of our shelter, we need something that is so substantial that it won't let us down. It is not me, myself, who's the shelter of it. I can't be my own shelter. Nor can... Look, where does the mind look for shelter continuously? It looks for the first thing. It's people or money or influence or strength or intelligence or beauty. These things are false shelters. So what spiritual life means is trying to find what is that substance, who is that person ultimately, especially for us, where is our shelter? If we watch our mind and understand it from this point of view, we can see that it is hopping from place to place, from topic to topic, to thought, all in the realm of icha and dvesha, bewildering us, looking to establish itself usually as shelter. And what we want to do, the great turning of the soul, the great transformation that we are looking for, which is the basis of our ultimate, which is prema bhakti, love for Krishna, is a full turning to Krishna as our shelter. And again, Krishna comes to us so kindly. Bhagavan mamapi durdaivam idrisamihananu januraga. He comes to us in the form, his full form of the holy name, invested all his potencies. in the holy name. He and the name, his name, are the same. If we can just take shelter, and this is the last thing the materialistic mind and false ego wants to do. I watch this all the time. I start getting angry, or something happens. This is one thing that's very good about coming to a retreat that's a little way from our convenient little our little house or cubicle or something, where we have everything set up just the way we want it, and it's very convenient. And you come to a retreat and you want warm weather and it's raining, and you want the water to be like this, and you don't want this, and this happens, that, and you don't, and the person who's sleeping next to you is snoring all night long, and then you have to get up and it's cold or it's too hot, and nothing is arranged according to one's own needs. And watch what happens to the mind. It starts criticizing, it starts getting angry, it starts wanting this and wanting I want, I hate. It's looking for a shelter, a secure shelter, in the wrong place. That is the point. And then when I say, oh yes, I notice now I'm becoming conscious that I'm becoming angry. And the whole world, after all, again, the whole world is supposed to, the universe is supposed to line itself up around what, around me and what I want. And again, it's, I can convince myself it's supposed to be like that, but I can't convince anyone else. And it never does. This we can count on, that the universe will not line itself up around me, my desires, and what I want. So we tell, we have some knowledge, and we become conscious that our mind is doing this. And I tell my mind, now you should take shelter of Krishna, of Krishna's holy names. And my mind says, no! Maybe your minds don't. Especially early in the morning. No! The last thing I want to do is take shelter of Krishna. And then I start, my mind becomes more angry and more critical. This is the nature of false ego. And what we have to learn how to do, have to, in the sense of conditional clause, if we want something, then we have to. If we want to develop love for Krishna, if we want to find a shelter, we have to learn to take shelter of Krishna. Now, especially this point of what is real shelter and what is false shelter comes up when? Because what do I usually look for for shelter? Well, give me a specific. Okay, I'll point it at you since you answered. What do you usually look at when?
My mother.
That's better than opening the refrigerator. Where a lot of people do that too, and just when I'm in anxiety. Or people take intoxication, and people download your emails. That's really a good one. How many? I just downloaded 40 seconds ago, but I must have to, maybe something very important has come in. We have to learn how to take shelter of Krishna. So where? Or what is going to, what test is going to see to make us understand if a shelter is actually true or not true? I mean, substantial or not substantial?
Well,
What test is going to let us know clearly if our shelter is a false shelter or substantial? Now, everyone knows what I'm... What practical in this world that is unescapable for everyone? What test is going to visit us? Yes. Mrityum janle hoy. Bhajan kore, sadhan kore, mrityu janle hoy. Now, now we can turn on this. Oh yeah, I have to. Did you see? Is it somewhere? It says class one. Okay, let's see what happens. Touch it gently after it's on, and we'll see what happens. Now, we're going to look to someone who, for good instruction, example and instruction. Okay, let's expand it a little bit, and maybe we'll turn off some lights. Yeah, that's probably enough. Okay, what happened? We've taken shelter and depending upon technology, and we've crashed. Nope. We're optimized for brightness. Yes. The great question is going to be asked. Did it go by itself? Oh, well, it's very intuitive. So we're going to hear something. No, it's okay. From Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 19. That's already didn't work quite. Text 20, it's supposed to be to 40. And we'll read on to Canto 2. And what I've done is summarize some of the verses, and we'll just go over them quickly. So just tap it and see what happens. Yes. So we know that Maharaj Prickett, who is the king of the world, king means power, means control. King means opulence. And he was cursed. He was cursed to die within 7 days. So, where does one look for shelter? I mean, everyone who is alive is in a material body is cursed to die. That's the reality of the situation. So, terror enters the heart when one actually gets the feeling that it's going to happen. Has anyone, I don't know if it's the right question to ask, but has anyone... had this experience, a bad report from a doctor or something like, or a close call at some time in their life? Yeah. Does terror enter the heart? Not with, well, how about you? Well, I have to find a better person to ask. Yeah. Well, when one becomes conscious of the fact that it's going to happen, there's a good chance it's going to happen, a terror enters the heart. And where does one look for shelter? At that time, the depth of our commitment and the depth of our shelter becomes very heavily tested. And this is what happened to Maharaj Prickett. And let's observe his ideal character. Go ahead. So he's renounced his kingdom. I don't think this is exactly the right verses, but okay, yes it is. So after all the rishis, so Maharaj Prickett decided to give up his kingdom and sit down on the bank of the Ganga or the Jamuna and just wait for his death. Now, what is he going to do? Eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow. Death is coming. But he decided to fast. And great rishis great spiritual teachers, hearing that Maharaj Prickett, a king, had decided to do this, had decided to fast until death, they all came to be present during his departure from this world. So he humbly stood before them with folded hands. Okay? The fortunate king said, could you play the harmonium with an appropriate... how about just Gaya Gora Madhu Shari? So the fortunate king said, indeed, we are the most grateful of all the kings who are trained to get favors from the great souls. This is the relationship between the administrative monarchy and the sadhus, the holy persons. So this way, when the relationship is one of great respect, then the direction of the kingdom is kept properly. The direction of the kingdom meaning to direct all the citizens towards the spiritual goal of life. So he is saying, Maharaj Prickett is saying, that I'm so fortunate that you've come here to be with me, a king. Because generally, you sages consider royalty as refuse to be rejected and left in a distant place. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not give Prataparudra Maharaj, the king, darshan, because there's such a tendency when one is around wealth, even if one isn't a renunciant, when one gets around wealth and power, there is such a tendency to start thinking, oh, I could have had that. I could have enjoyed that. Prabhupada gave this instruction after giving sannyas to several of his young sannyasi disciples. He told them, when you go to a householder's house, don't think, oh, I could have done this. I could have had a house. I could have had a wife. So there's such a tendency due to the dissatisfactions that exist in the heart to turn in the wrong direction when confronted with objects that we consider enjoyable, meant for our enjoyment, or persons who we think might be enjoying more than us. That's called envy. So usually the sadhus will not associate with kings because they don't want to come in contact with people who are attached to wealth and enjoyment and power. Because again, the tendency can easily jump from someone's heart to our heart. But yet these sages, had come to see Maharaj Prickett and he was appreciating it. Okay, next. The Supreme... Now this is how he viewed his curse. The terrible thing that's happened to him. He's viewed it as, he said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of both the transcendental and mundane worlds, has graciously... What does graciously mean? Huh? Nicely, a little more specific. Kindly, with grace, out of his kindness, out of his niceness, supreme niceness. He's overtaken me in the form of a Brahmin's curse out of his kindness. Sometimes our curses, the difficulties that we have in life, they blossom into the greatest fortune. And sometimes, just the opposite, something that we immediately consider fortune corrupts into the greatest misfortune. Very much it depends on our consciousness and how we deal with life. So he is seeing, his consciousness is so pure that he's seeing this terrible misfortune, death, at the height of his power, by the curse of a Brahmin, to be Krishna's direct hand. He's overtaken him. Next. Due to my being too attached, too much attached to family life, I've taken shelter of my kingdom, of my family, of my wealth, of my elephants, etc. The Lord, in order to save me, has appeared before me in such a way that only out of fear I will detach myself from the world. O Brahmanas, he faces the Brahmana sadhu devotees who have come. O Brahmanas, as a completely surrendered soul, and just accept me as a completely surrendered soul, and let Mother Ganges, the representative of the Lord, also accept me in that way. For I have already taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart. I have taken his shelter. Let the snake bird or whatever magical thing the Brahmana created bite me at once. I only desire that you all continue singing the deeds of Lord Vishnu. He didn't desire even to be freed from his difficulty. He had already taken the feet of Krishna within his heart. What does that mean? That Krishna, Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Pranadhan, that Krishna was everything for him. He had already done that. He was already a great devotee. And because he was a great devotee, and this is what it means to be a great devotee, it means to accept the Lord as our only shelter within our heart. That means that whatever happens to us, whatever our fate, the universe, whatever anyone, anything throws at us, we turn to Krishna and Krishna only. That is what it means to be a devotee. And because this is so rare, and also I will say that upon that platform of nishtha, upon that platform, that's where bhakti grows, where love, prema bhakti grows. First the shelter is there. The benefit of taking shelter of Krishna is that one becomes so connected to him that one feels part of his group. This is the comment of Srila Jiva Goswami, that the benefit of taking shelter, you consider yourself part of him, and he considers you part of his group, his entourage, his group of protected souls that he has a responsibility to protect. This point will come up tomorrow very, very strongly, and we'll get a hint of Krishna's soft and kind heart. So let anything happen to me in this world, let it happen according to my fate, my karma, whatever, according to Krishna's desire, but let my attachment be to Krishna. And then he says a verse that I just caught the wonder of this verse recently. He says, Punascha bhuyad bhagavati anantene rati prasangas chatara asrayeshu mahatsu yam yam upayami srishtim maitra astu sarvatra namo dvijibhya. This is what his desire is. The sages are there, and sages are meant to ask things from. That's how. Ask blessings from. They don't want, they give. But what does He want from them? This is His expression of His desire. Again offering my obeisances, Punya, unto all you Brahmanas, I pray that if I should again take my birth in the material world, I will have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Krishna. That's what I want. And association with His devotees. And friendly relations with all living beings. Three things He's asking for. Three glorious things. I want my attachment to Krishna to grow and be focused. When I compare this consciousness to what my mind wants, where I seek my shelter, it becomes very embarrassing. It's appalling. I want, this person didn't do what I want, and he yelled at me yesterday, I want him to experience immediate death. My mind does say things like this. Immediate death. No, change that to slow, torturous death. He should only understand what it's like. After all, I'm the center of existence. And how dare anyone, and even he thought something about me, I could tell. And he neglected me. Die. Just imagine if technology advanced to the point of, instead of having an ear socket, this was a mini phone plug. And what would be in, what goes through our mind gets broadcast on a loudspeaker. Would we have a friend left in the world? Would anyone talk to us? Look what his desire is. It's so pure. It's so complete. Let my attachment be only to Krishna wherever I am. This actually is the mood of the Brijbasis. After Krishna held up Govardhan Hill, the residents of Vrindavan came to Nanda Maharaj and they said, what kind of boy is this? And Nanda Maharaj just repeated the words of Gagacharja, and then finally the conclusion was, let us all become attached to Krishna. Let us all become attached to Krishna. And let me have association with his devotees and friendly relations with all that. Let me be the well-wisher of everyone. Let them, he didn't say, let all living beings have friendly relationships with me and everyone like me. Oh, I hope everyone likes me. But rather, let me have affectionate and kindly dealings to all others and be the well-wisher of everyone else. This is the kind of devotee that we have, that has been held up to us right at the very beginning of the Bhagavatam as the ideal person who is going to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, who is so ideal. Go to the next one. This is his basic consciousness, what his desire is. And then he's going to ask them a question in a few moments. But all the great sages who were assembled there, they also praised the decision of Maharaj Prickett. And they expressed their approval by saying, sadhu, sadhu, very good. And then they began to speak to the king. The sages said, O chief of the saintly kings of the Pandu dynasty, who are strictly in the line of Lord Krishna, it is not at all astonishing that you give up your throne, which is decorated with the helmets of many kings, to achieve eternal association with the personality of Godhead. I see that I tend to not want to give up my kingship. I want to be a devotee. I want to be with Krishna. but I want to take all the my material attachments, I want to take my false ego with me, and it doesn't work. But for him, they say, it's not astonishing, your consciousness, that you're giving up everything for the purpose of achieving the association, the service of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not astonishing, considering that you're a saintly king in the dynasty of the Pandus, of all great devotees. It is wonderful what you're doing. But we see, we know your quality, so we are not astonished by it. We shall all wait here until the foremost devotee of the Lord, Maharaj Prickett, returns to the supreme planet, which is completely free from all mundane contamination and all kinds of lamentation. Our life is so much spent in lamentation, and this lamentation is so dangerous, because up until the moment of death we'll be lamenting that, oh, if only this had happened, and only that had happened, and this happened, and this happened, and if only this, if only that. And then, why did that happen? If only that hadn't happened. And then we will forget. And then when we have all these lamentations in our heart, these are the seeds for our next birth. Very dangerous. Okay. Maybe I should just stop speaking. We should just start chanting. Please don't just turn Radha and Krishna right side up, please. Thank you. Lamentations and material desires, they are not innocent, because they cause adishyam, manasyam, they cause repeated birth and etc. in the material world. What we want is attachment to Krishna. Okay, Chaitanya Prabhu. So all that was spoken by the great sages was very sweet to hear. There was more, but I've summarized. And appropriately full of deep meaning and appropriately presented is perfectly true. So after hearing them, Maharaj Prickett, desiring to hear of the activities of Lord Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, he congratulated the sages. Very sweet dealings. Next. The king said, O great sages, you have all very kindly assembled here, having come from all parts of the universe. You are all as good as the supreme knowledge personified who resides in the planet above the three worlds, Satyaloka. So they have all knowledge, he's saying. So what is the benefit of being in the association of those who have knowledge? What to speak of all knowledge? That means they know everything that is really to be known in this world. What is the benefit of them being in your presence, especially when it is time to die? What is the benefit? They have knowledge. What's the benefit? Oh, come on, someone. Just submit yourself and say, well, what should I do? And that's just what Maharaj Prickett does do. Consequently, because you have knowledge, this is very interesting, you're naturally inclined to do good to others. And but for this, you have no interest either in this life or in the next. Completely unselfish. This is the heart of a sadhu. Having taken shelter of Krishna, and completely unselfish. I hope when they put up the ceiling, they put it up with more than tape. That one's next, I presume. Next. I mean, now the king asks the great question. All knowledge, the persons who are full of knowledge are right in front of him. And naturally, he wants to get some of that knowledge. And therefore, the proper way to get knowledge is to ask a proper question. So now he asks the great questions. All trustworthy brahmanas, I now ask you about my immediate duty. Please, after proper deliberation, tell me of the unalloyed duty of everyone in all circumstances, and specifically of those who are just about to die. What should I do? I'm going to be leaving this world soon. I'm going to die. My material body, which is the essence of what I take shelter of in this world, improperly, because we all know we're going to die, this body is soon going to, and I are going to separate. So, what should I do now? How should I spend my time? And at that moment, this is the powerful son of Vyasadeva, who traveled all over the earth, disinterested in gaining anything from this world, and satisfied with himself. He appeared before the sages and the king. And when he appeared, all the sages honored him. He was only 16 years old, and he was unclothed, not caring for this world at all. The sages all stood up in respect. And they honored him. And Maharaj Prickett and everyone, Maharaj, they all offered their obeisances to Sukadeva Goswami. His name is Vishnu Arta, means he was protected by the Lord. And this, by the way, is what we are all longing for, to be protected by Krishna, to have achieved that shelter. So even though there were so many sages, and actually one of the acharyas has commented, when Maharaj Prickett asked this question, what is my duty now when I'm going to die, the sages all had different opinions. And they all started arguing with each other of what should he do? What should I think? This justice says this. But then when Sukadeva Goswami came, everyone stopped. Everyone offered respects. Maharaj Prickett offered respects. And then the fortunate King Prickett welcomed the sage and with great humility glorified him, expressing that Sukadeva Goswami's appearance signified Krishna's mercy being extended to him. This is Krishna's mercy. Next. The king then asked the sage Sukadeva Goswami his question. And what was the question? What is the duty of everyone? But specifically, excuse me? Yes, and especially what is the duty of one who is about to die? He said, You are the spiritual master of great saints and devotees. I am therefore begging you to show the way of perfection for all persons, and especially for one who is about to die. Please let me know what a man should hear, chant, remember, and worship, and also what he should not do. Please explain all this to me. What should I do? Now, we'll go to just the first verses of the second canto of the first chapter, which talk about his reply, Sukadeva Goswami's reply. So the question is, what should I do? I'm going to die. Where is my shelter? Where is my shelter? Where can I place my consciousness where I'm completely secure? And where can I place my consciousness that will bring me to the proper place, to the best place, when my body drops. Sukadev Goswami said, this question is glorious because it is very beneficial for all kinds of people. To answer this question is the prime subject matter for hearing, and it is approved by all transcendentalists. The question itself is glorious, what to speak of the answer. And this is what we should be asking. What is my duty now? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? Where should I place my consciousness? What should I hear about? What should I remember? What should I worship? This is the essential question of life, because it so directly points to what is the meaning of life. And we pass through our life in such an unconscious way, thinking that tomorrow will necessarily be just like today, and yesterday, and yesterday. But it is not the case. This question itself is glorious. What to speak of the answer that he's going to give? The question was approved by transcendentalists. Now he's going to criticize those who waste their lives, those persons who are materially engrossed, being blind to the knowledge of ultimate truth, leave many subjects of hearing in human society, O Emperor. So many things that are important. The lifetime of such an envious householder is passed at night, either in sleeping or in sex indulgence, and in the daytime, either in making money or maintaining family members. Persons devoid of Atma Tattva do not inquire into the problems of life, being too attached to the fallible sojas like the body, children, and wife. Although sufficiently experienced, they do not see their inevitable destruction. O descendant of King Bharata, one who desires to be free from all miseries. And here is a preliminary answer to the question, what should I do? So one who desires to be free from all miseries should hear about, glorify, and also remember the personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul and Controller and the Savior from all miseries. Our consciousness must focus. Maybe we could open up some windows that might help our consciousness focus too, or doors. Yeah, good. I mean, this is actually a very heavy topic, because it's quite imperative. If we desire to become free from material life and not be placed in that other category of envious persons, householders, just absorbed in material, even though pashanapi na pashyati, even though we know better than to become absorbed in these things, yet the illusory energy is so strong, we do become absorbed in them anyway. And a great transformation must take place in our consciousness if, again, the conditional cause, if we want to get the result that we all truly desire. And we wouldn't be sitting here unless we desired this. But there has to be a deep transformation of consciousness. We can't take our false ego and all our material desires and all our false shelters. We cannot take them with us and go back to the spiritual world. There has to be a very deep transformation to the very core of our hearts. we have to become devotees. Actual devotees. So what to do to bring us in that way? He's given three recommendations here. Hear about and glorify and remember Krishna, who is the Super Soul. He's with us. He is the controller. He is the Savior from all miseries. We have to take shelter of Krishna. The highest perfection of human life, achieved either by complete knowledge of matter and spirit, the path of jnana, by practice of mystic powers, the practice of yoga, or by perfect discharge of occupational duties, karma, the perfection of all those things is to remember the personality of Godhead at the time, at the end of life, at the time of death. Ante Narayana Smriti. Not easy, because you won't be able to process things through your intelligence. Because, again, when we're taking shelter of our material body and then it completely acts in contrary ways, we're not going to have the ability with a cool and calm heart and mind to think, oh yes, I think I'm going to be dying very soon, perhaps in the next minute or two. I read in the Bhagavatam that I'm supposed to remember the Supreme Personality of God, and meanwhile, your heart isn't working, and you can't breathe, and there's unlimited pain racking your body, and the mind, the airs of the body aren't working properly, and the mind is confused and bewildered, and thinking thousands of thoughts all at once. There has to be a very deep practice and habit already set up that Krishna, you are everything to me. So that we turn to Krishna. And the way to turn to Krishna at this time is to be turning to Krishna, this time meaning at the end of life, is to be turning to Krishna in life. And the test, sadhan kore, bhajan kore, mrityu janle hai, the test of our sadhana, the test is going to be when we're dying. Where does my mind turn for shelter? And if this morning was an indication of where my mind is going, when things were a little bit disturbed, because I didn't have this where I wanted, and I didn't have that where I wanted it, and this didn't happen exactly what I wanted. If this morning is an indication of where my mind turns when it's in difficulty, the thought of what it's going to do, this unruly, crazy mind, where it's going to go, when the difficulty is real, when there's a complete, the soul is actually, I am leaving my body. And the pain and the disorientation, if that's an indication of my preparedness and my devotion, then when it comes to time to chant my japa, I'm going to be more serious about it. Next. So then Sukadeva Goswami glorifies Srimad Bhagavatam in several verses, because this scripture, it's ultimately all about developing love for Krishna. It's the Paramhansa Samhita. It's all about the holy names, actually. So he glorifies the Bhagavatam, and then he answers the question of what is the, because he's mentioned three things already, but he's going to come down to what is one thing. The one thing is the best and most important thing to do in all circumstances, at all times, at all places, especially, but not limited to, the time of death. What should I be doing? Where should my shelter be? What can I cling to that won't give me disappointment and the great terror of being shelterless when I've relied on something, and at this time where I really need my shelter, it turns into air, nothingness, insubstantial. So what is the prime duty of everyone? Not yet. And here is his answer. Etan, everyone, repeat after me. Etanya vidyamananam. Ichatam makuto vayam.
Ichatam makuto vayam.
Yoginam ripa nirnitam.
Yoginam ripa nirnitam.
Harir nama anukirtanam.
Harir nama anukirtanam.
So the great sage Sukadeva Goswami, whom everyone respected, and without him saying a word, they deferred to his words, his desires, his conclusion as to the answer to the question of what am I supposed to be doing with my life, especially at the crucial time of death. Here is his reply directly, and it is, Nirnitam means that it has been decided by the great sages, by all authorities. What I'm going to say is the definitive conclusion to this question. And who is it meant for? Navidyamanam, those who are detached from this world, those who are ichitam, who are full of material desires. If you want to be akutobayam, if you want to be free from fear, if you want to be completely attached to a shelter that is a true shelter, or if you're a yogi, because yogi, ichitam, full of desires, detached, navidyamananam actually means self-satisfied. And this is an important, please remember this, because there'll be something that Prabhupada says in his purport that that is very, very relevant to this, and what it means to be a devotee. O king, it is already decided that regardless of what's your situation now, whether you're self-satisfied, detached, a great yogi, or you're full of boiling material desires that roil the consciousness continuously, what we should be doing, he says, is Hari Nam Anukirtanam. Anu means following in the way of the authorities, not whimsically, but taking shelter of the holy names, the kirtan of the holy names, the glorification of Krishna. Our consciousness should become absorbed, not absorbed in the sense of losing our self, but absorbed in the glorious activities and name and form of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the best thing to do. This is the conclusion of Srila Sukadeva Goswami. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, and including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. Now, Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, he answers some questions to this. It's quite a wonderful purport, very, very well organized. So first he answers the question of what type of persons does this verse recommend to chant Lord Hari's holy name? He speaks about it in details. He speaks about the persons who are materialists, the ichitam, those who have material desires. And then he also says the transcendentalists, those who have attained perfect knowledge about the nature of the material world and that we are not this body. We are not. We attach ourselves to the things of the material world. We think of ourselves as the body, and then we accumulate things. And when we extend our sense of me onto something that is obviously and clearly not me, it becomes mine. We extend that feeling of mindness onto things that are not. It is my body then, too. It is my car, my money, my family, my land, my house, my this, my computer, my whatever, my coat, my shoes, my glasses. That feeling of my, me, extended to things that obviously have nothing to do with us. That's mine. And this is what we do with our consciousness. We expand our sense of my, me and mine. And then, because that gives us the sense of being the controller and secure, the more we can control, the more secure. And then at the time of death, all this me and mine, from the body down to my pens and pencils and my refrigerator, etc., it all vanishes as being secure items. This is reality. It is not Maya. It is this type of illusion is the way my consciousness thinks continuously. Take shelter, I expand my sense of what's mine, who I am, into other things. So even those kind of persons who are so much in illusion and Maya, who are so foolishly doing this kind of thing, these are included in the Icchittam, into the realm of those who must take shelter of Krishna's holy names. Oops. Yeah, go ahead. And then the next, so Prabhupada talks about this. Now I wanted to just read what Prabhupada says about the persons who are self-satisfied. This is on to the next question that Prabhupada answers in the purport. But he talks about those who are self-satisfied. And this is what he says. Above them, all the others, are the devotees of the Lord, who neither aspire to enjoy the material world, nor desire to get out of it. They are after the satisfaction of the Lord, Sri Krishna. This is their desire. In other words, the devotees of the Lord do not want anything on their personal account. If the Lord desires, the devotee can accept all sorts of material facilities. And if the Lord does not desire this, the devotee can leave aside all sorts of facilities, even up to the limit of salvation or liberation. And then he says, nor are they self-satisfied because they want the satisfaction of the Lord only. This is what, and the prophet says, above them are the devotees of the Lord. This is what it means to be a devotee of the Lord. To be so serious, to be so fixed, to be so fixed in what? In our shelter and our desires. I am sold, gotripte varanam tata, I am yours, Krishna. Not I am yours, except when there's not hot water or some other little thing happens, and then I become a ferocious mind that's angry at everyone. Stop laughing at me. This is what happens. Please, or else I will you all to. Just imagine if we had the desire, if all we thought came true. It's so ironic that everyone wants all their desires fulfilled. But if that happened, probably there would be no one left alive in the world. The devotees, they only desire the pleasure of Krishna. They are in love. What a devotee means, bhakta means love, devotion. Devotion means I'm concerned only for what is pleasing you. And the topmost devotees are therefore the residents of Vrindavan. They're so surrendered to Krishna. They're not thinking, oh, I want to surrender to Krishna, or thinking I'm so surrendered to Krishna. Their devotion for Krishna is completely spontaneous and natural. Their love for Krishna is so natural. Their attraction to Krishna is so natural that they can't think of anything but Him. They can't think of philosophy. They can't think of how to control the mind. When Uddhava spoke to the Braja Gopikas and told them, gave them the messages from Krishna, where Krishna says you should control your mind and do this and focus your mind on the Lord. You should focus your mind on Krishna. Their reply is, our problem isn't that we can't, that we have to focus our mind on Krishna. Our problem is we can't stop thinking about Krishna. This is love. This is devotion. This is our ideal. They are our ideal. And we saw this also in Prabhupada, that he could not stop thinking about how to make everyone in the universe Krishna conscious, make everyone in the universe a lover of Krishna. And thinking how to break the illusion that people were trapped in. His mind was uncommonly focused only on that. Nor are they self-satisfied, because they only want the satisfaction of the Lord only. Then, what results will come from chanting of the holy name? So who should chant and what results will come? I'll read what Prabhupada says. In this verse, Srila Sukadeva Goswami recommends the transcendental chanting of the holy name of the Lord. By offenseless chanting and hearing of the holy name of the Lord, this is the result. One becomes acquainted with the transcendental form of the Lord. By chanting, one becomes acquainted with Krishna's form, and then with the attributes, his qualities, and then with the transcendental nature of his pastimes. So the chanting of Krishna's names will reveal everything about Krishna. It will purify the heart down to the core. And then, as our hearts are purified, the holy names will reveal the nature of the name. The nature of the form of Krishna will come. And the nature of Krishna's pastimes. And then, as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the holy name will take us and reveal to us our own spiritual nature and form. And carry us back. Give us the appropriate form even to associate with Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. This is what Prabhupada was distributing. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was distributing. The holy name of Krishna. So guna rupa lila follow nam. And then the process of chanting that's going to do this. First who should chant, then the result, then who should chant, then the results of chanting, and then the process of chanting. And I won't we'll continue this and we'll finish it. There's not much more left in this. And then we'll continue this in the second class, which will be from 11 to 1. And what time is prasadam? That prasadam? 2 o'clock. So 11 to 1 and a little, perhaps somewhat beyond that. But keep focused. This is an important time that we have together, because we're going to individually sit down with Krishna in the form of his holy name. And then we're going to be able to move forward in our relationship with Krishna. So keep focused on the seriousness. I mean, it can just take a moment. I heard recently, I was listening to a lecture of Prabhupada in Mayapur in 76, and he said, I'm paraphrasing, he said that the purpose of all the reading of the literatures, the books, Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, is that we gain faith in the all-powerful nature of Krishna and the all-merciful nature of Krishna. And then we will be able to surrender unto him. These two points, that Krishna is all-powerful and all-merciful, are essential for us to have deep trust in, for us to surrender to him. Because we could surrender to someone who's very merciful, very kindly disposed to us, like our mothers, most of our mothers and everything like that, but they're not all-powerful. So the fact that they're, some of our mothers may be all-powerful, some of those great devotee mothers, but if we surrender to someone who's all-merciful, they have to have all-power too. And if we surrender to someone who's all-powerful but is not all-merciful, that's very dangerous. Harsha, come here. Those two qualities, all-merciful and all-powerful. Then, Prabhupada said, then we will be able to surrender to Krishna. And Prabhupada then said, for a fortunate person, this, meaning surrender to Krishna, can take just a moment. So we want to increase our fortune. We want to increase our fortune. That is why we've come here. To move closer, or maybe even if we are very fortunate in a moment, we seem to say, oh, okay, Krishna, I've tried so many things. I've had so much fear in my life. This, that, this, so many things have happened to me in my life. Good, bad, terrible, traumatic. Enough, Krishna. I'm not going to entangle my mind in this any longer. I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. Hare Krishna. And we take that. And take that mood and coat our chanting of the holy names with that. In a moment, it can take place in a moment. And some of us perhaps are a little more slow and we have to work our way through things a little more, so we can also work our way through them by the mercy of the holy name. Ichitam. If we're full of desires, even if we're self-satisfied, I don't need anything. I'm satisfied. I keep my needs small. I'm a peaceful person. I don't need anything. I can just live in my little room. And what do I need of life? But devotees, they're in love. So regardless of our situation, the process, and till the time of completion too, even in Goloka Vrindavan, the residents of Vrindavan, they're just chanting Krishna's holy names. Govinda Damodar Madhaveti. Do you know that? There's one verse. Here, why don't we... You have to... There's this one verse when Krishna leaves Vrindavan. He leaves Vrindavan. Who was driving the chariot? Akur. And he leaves, and the gopis, they were just chanting
Govinda Damodara Madhave Ki
Govinda Damodara
Govinda Damodara Madhave Ki Govinda Damodara Madhave Ki Govinda Damodara Madhave Ki Govinda Damodara Madhave Ki Govinda Damodara Madhave Ki
Govinda Damodara Madhave Ki
Govinda Damodara Madhave Ki
Govinda
Damodara Madhave Ki
Govinda Damodara Madhave Ki
So from the very beginning to the end, to the highest point of perfection, the same process of just chanting Krishna's names. So we don't have to worry even that someday, we used to do that, but now we do something else. No, Krishna's names, take Krishna's names. Take Krishna's names, take them, and don't let go of them. So this great transformation, this is the process of Krishna consciousness. The great transformation of where our shelter is from me and mind and all the accumulation and the attachment to this. We're so attached to it. But it's doomed. To be attached to something that's doomed is dumb. To be attached to something that's going to be ripped forcibly against our will from us. But to be attached and attracted to Krishna, now that is the prayer of Maharaj Prickett. Let me be attached only to Krishna. Let me have the association of devotees and let me be friendly, disposed towards all living entities, to everyone. No friends and enemies and camps and groups and politics on this level. Of course, in Vrindavan, that's the greatest of politics. But it's all for the pleasure of Krishna. So we want to move in that direction. Okay. Now we will. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Prasadam time right now? Okay. So at 10 o'clock, Kirtan, Prabhu, will you be able to do that? Start Kirtan. So please join in the Kirtan. And then at 11 o'clock, the class will begin. Krishna willing. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Sukadeva Goswami ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So many Gaur-Nitai deities ki jai. Sisi Radha Balava ki jai. Giriraj Maharaj ki jai. And what's Shalagram, Guru Maharaj Shalagram Srila's name is Rad Rasbihari. Rasbihari Lala ki jai. Karabalava Bhaktivinda ki jai. One day, not yet.